especially if they're in water that's like 43 degrees. So I had on these little like surfing little booties and stuff, and so we all wore sweats, right? So I had a full set of sweats on going out there, and about an hour and a half into this lake excursion in our jet skis, I started getting really hot, and I thought, this is not going to bode well for me. Because see, what everybody else didn't know is I had a wetsuit on underneath my sweats. And I didn't tell any of those guys. We just had a whole lot of fun. You know what? I'm telling you, as Christians, we can have fun. You know what? We went out there, no drinking, you know, water and coffee. Coffee you pour on your feet to warm your feet up. But we just really had a great time. It was a lot of fun. And I just had to pull that other thing on those guys just because I could. It was good. Hey, I got a couple more. I got a short video I want to show you guys. But before I do that, it's going to be at the Derby Acres Church. I want to say this. Tyler, the guy that was playing the guitar with us, he moved back home. Just some stuff going on. And what a fine, fine young man. Anytime that you're in ministry. Yeah, it's okay. Great guy. Anytime you're in ministry and you're working in ministry and you're going to step down, always, always, always call whoever's over you in leadership. Amen. To let her know what's going on, he called us and he just thanked us for the opportunity. And this is what I told Tyler, and it fits real well with what we're doing today. I said, Tyler, I said, you know what, you sing good and you're a good musician, but that's not what I like best about you, Tyler. What I like best about you is you have an incredible heart for God. The heart for God, you cannot buy a heart for God. Just someone that's willing to listen and, you know, just a great guy. And now we have Patton playing already. God didn't even miss a beat. And Patton's out here doing an excellent job. He's awesome. Love you, brother. Good musician. And, so kind of cool. You know what? In life, we never know what's going to go on, right? We just hang out, love on God. I want to start with a story. Oh, no. I want to do this video first. I want to show you a real quick video. Today is our first day out at Derby, the Derby Church out there. So we put together just a little video to show you guys what the facility looks like there. So go ahead, Zach, if you don't mind. It's only about a minute and a half. That shadow down there, that's me. I was running there. We were really surprised by how much equipment's already out there. They actually have a nice little setup out there. So we went out there last week and just kind of talked with the church out there. And I was, you know, I used to live at Derby Acres. How many's ever lived in Derby before? Raise your hand up real high. So we lived up on Cloud Street, and we had built this little barn. You heard me talk about the barn for horses, and, you know, everybody said it wouldn't last a week. It was there for 20 years. But anyway, so we went out there and talked with everybody and just really had a great connection. So Marvin's out there preaching this morning, and Marcia went out this morning because he's going to help them set up all their sound and stuff. So, but we got a team. We got a big team, and we're going to be talking about that as we go. But what I'm going to ask for Austin, and the reason I wanted to show the video, because isn't that some nice property? I mean, there's about 100 seats. Yeah, there's about 9 people out there. But there are 500 people in the area, so it's a great opportunity to reach out into that area. And so that's what we're going to be doing. How many is excited about that? I'm excited because you know what? Not only did they need somebody out there, because for them, honestly, and I didn't realize this, but it was either that we're going to step in and help them or the church doors were going to close just because they're down to about 9 people. And so we want to help them build that back up and use them and abuse them any way we can, like we do you guys. Man, we just want people to work and do things for the kingdom, right? Because when you do that, you get so much joy in the middle of that. So anyway, they're out there this morning having a good time. So I want to start with a story this morning. So I heard this story of a highway patrol officer who pulled over a vehicle with several older ladies in the car. The officer asked the lady driving why she was only going 35 miles an hour on the freeway. The lady answered, "I saw the sign back there that said 35, so I was driving 35. The officer explained, "That's Interstate 35, and the speed limit is 65. Then he asked, "Why do all the other ladies look so frightened in the back?" She replied, "We just got off the 95. So we're doing this new series, and we're just going to be talking about a heart for God. I think when God looks at us, he doesn't look at how we dress. He doesn't look at other stuff. He's looking at our what? He's looking at our heart. Now, he's not looking at what pumps blood, right? That's not interesting. But he's looking, the heart represents the seat of the emotions. So God is looking at us deep down inside to see who we are and what's inside of us. Now, God really already knows, but you know what? It helps us find out who we are. So we're going to be, for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about this, and this is going to be the scripture that we start with every morning. It's Ezekiel 36:26, and he says this. So it's going to be up on the screen, and you got notes if you want to take notes and write it down. It says, "I will give you a new, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Now, Ezekiel was prophesying, and because Israel had sinned and walked away from God, the first part of Ezekiel, he's prophesying that you're going to go into captivity and stay there for a long time. And now he's prophesying that God's going to change something up. And just what God did for Israel, which is people, he will do for us. He'll give us a new heart, a heart that's not stony. Let's be honest. You know, just for a minute, for those that, how many's been married a long time? Just raise your hand. Can't raise your hand yet. How long's a long time? Well, yeah, a long time. Longer than you guys. What are you guys, 25 years? No. So anyway, so if you've been married a long time, you know that, you know, it usually starts off sweet. Like Brother Billy said, the first year you could eat each other up, the second year you wish you would have. So anyway, so what God is promising, because even our hearts with Christ, we start off and all of us, our hearts are tender. We just got saved and God freed us from a lot of jinx and we have a really tender heart for God. But after a while, because of life, if we're not careful, our heart gets what? Hard. Stony. Hardened. All these words, right? And so God's saying, "I will give you a new heart and I'll put a new spirit within you." You don't know over the years how many times I've prayed that prayer and just asked God, "God, give me a new heart, a heart that's not made out of stone, but a heart that is responsive to God." So this morning, we're actually going to be talking a little bit about David now, because David is one of those guys that God said what about him? He was a man after God's own heart. So we're gonna be looking at that for a few minutes this morning, and because we can't really talk about David unless we talk about King Saul. Now listen to this, and put this in your mind or write it in your notes. The irritations in life is going to be what makes you who you are. How many loves irritations? How many loves it when everything goes wrong? None of us do, but it's those times and those things that really causes us to dig down deep, and God uses those to mold us and to make us into whom he wants us to be. So here's what's happening. Saul has gone for a while, and his heart kind of turns hard to God. He's not really listened to God. So Samuel's coming to King Saul, who is now the rebellious King Saul, and he's trying to line some things up with him, and he's announcing that King Saul's reign is over. So we're going to look at 1 Samuel 13:14. He says, "But now your kingdom must end, for the Lord has sought out a man after his own heart." How many knows that God seeks out? Now, it's not just men, it's women. How many knows there's some incredibly great women? We have some great women here. In fact, all the women here are great. You're welcome. Great women. God has called women, amen, just as much as he's called men. In fact, a lot of you probably wouldn't be in church if it wasn't for some lady that taught Sunday school class years ago. Amen? So he says this, but now your kingdom must stand, for the Lord has sought out a man of his own heart. The Lord has already appointed him to be the leader of his people because you have not kept the Lord's command. See, the word declares a lot about King David, but I think the thing that stands out is that heart for God. Now, if you got notes, I think this is in your note page too. It says, having a heart, a servant's heart, means to not only put others' needs ahead of our own, but to serve with the right motivation. And that is to put God's will first. How many knows that God's will is not always easy? But when you put God's will first, it always works out. Rewards, recognition, or even gratitude cannot be the motivation to live out true servanthood, right? God is simply looking for men and women after his own heart. And let me say this. If you're a man or woman after God's own heart, that does not mean that you're perfect. Raise your hand if you're perfect. Yo. Just one hand. You know what? You know what I love about God? God doesn't require us to be perfect. But you know what he does require? He requires us to have a heart after God. And what that means is when we do something really stupid, I do things stupid a lot. So when I do something really stupid, two things. I have to go to God and say, God, forgive me. And God loves back on me. And if I do something stupid to one of you, I need also to go to... Now listen, I might offend you just because I showed up today. Someone say, that sweater offends you. Get over it. I mean, we can offend people and just because we're there. And I'm not talking about that. But if you offend somebody purposely, you need to go back to that person and you need to say, man, I am so sorry I offended you. Amen? If we want to be a person after God's own heart, we want to keep this relationship going well. And because we're humans, all of us at times are going to offend each other. There's sometimes you might offend me, and that's okay. That's just life. That happens. I got thick skin. Well, the jet ski landed on my finger the other day, and it bled really easy. Maybe not as thick as I thought. So anyway, so as we're looking at David and his heart for God, I just want us to catch some principles within this. So the reason for the change in the leadership is because Saul, his heart changed. God wants to use every single one of us. But when our heart gets hardened, God can't use us because we just get to the place where we don't want to be used. We don't want to listen to others. See, God had already told Saul he would choose another to replace him as king because of all this rebellion. So some years later, God has given him another chance, and a lot of wars have taken place. And he's telling him, and he says this. This is going to be up on the screen, 1 Samuel 15:2. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies has declared. I have decided to settle accounts with the nation of Amalek for opposing Israel when they came from Egypt. Now go and completely destroy the entire Amalek nation. What does it say? Let's read that together. Men, women, children, babies, cattle, sheep, goats, camels, and donkeys. Isn't it amazing that donkeys are listed last? But God is wanting to make sure that this army doesn't raise back up and destroy Israel. Israel has always had a great place in the heart of God. If you don't like Israel, you need to talk to God a little bit, right? Because Israel always, he told us even to pray for the peace of Israel. Amen? It's very, very important. But because of Saul, him changing. In fact, I want to read a couple of scriptures that's going to let us see what happens. In 1 Samuel 15:13, this had already happened, and he spared the king, and he spared all the animals, which he wasn't supposed to do. So Samuel comes to him, and this is what it says up on the screen, 1 Samuel 15:13. When Samuel finally found him, Saul greeted him cheerfully, and he said this, "May the Lord bless you." Let's say that together. "May the Lord bless you." And he said, "I have carried out the Lord's command." What did he say? He lied. How many's ever lied before? Let's be honest. Have you ever lied? Four of us have. Okay. He lied. He lied. And then something else, and we're gonna look at verse 15 in a minute, but something else happened. He said this. He said, "May the Lord bless you." If I come up to Patton and I tell Patton, "I bless you in the name of the Lord." What that's saying is that this God that I know, I have a relationship with, I want him to bless you. It's about relationship. It's not just, "I'm going to bless you by someone I don't know." You're not saying that. And so that happened. Now let's look at verse 15. I love this. "It's true that the army spared the best of the sheep, the goats, and the cattle." He's trying to wiggle his way out of it, right? Saul admitted. "But they are going to sacrifice them to the Lord." Lord. Lord. Your God. You see how that language changed? First, I want to bless you. In other words, the God I know, I want to bless you. And now we're saying, it's not my God, it's your God. Let me tell you this. Go to the next slide. When we continually sin, we push ourselves away from God. God wants to connect with us. He wants to love on us. Yesterday, I had a service for a 3-month-old baby. And it was, I've done a lot of, over the years, I've done a lot of funerals for babies, and it's always a tough thing. And the family were so, so broken. And I went into the room just with the family. No one else was in there, just the mom and the dad and the baby. And beautiful, beautiful baby. And dad is so mad. Mad at the world. Just upset. And he's just telling me how much he hates God. Now, if someone ever does that, because, you know, listen, all of us are ministers of the gospel. If you're a Christian, you have the gospel in you. God wants you to minister to others. And there's going to be some times when no one else is around but you. So this is what I told him. I said, "You know what? I said, God's got big shoulders. God loves you. God loves us so much. While we were still in our sins, Jesus died for us." So I'm just, you know what? This big old guy's mad and upset, and I took a chance. I put my arm around him. I just told him, I said, "You know, man, I love you. I care about you." Because right then, I'm the only Jesus he's going to be in contact with for a while. He needed to know someone cared. If you have a heart for God, you're going to step out of, you know, honestly, I thought this guy might punch me. I thought if I get punched, I get punched. He needed to know someone cared about him and someone loved him. When we're hurting, when we're so hurting that everything in the world has stopped, I said some other things to him. I just got real bold and just spoke some things I thought God wanted him to hear, and I just loved on him because that is important, right? Wow. Psalm says to the rebellious Saul, Samuel does, "Your kingdom shall not continue." I love that. And then God says, "I'm seeking after a man after my own heart." Now listen, we're starting on a 21-day Daniel fast. So the reason that we're fasting, because we want to have a heart for God. We want to get close to God. How many wants to get close to God? How many wants to hang out with God? I'll tell you, the other day, I've been eating so many beans. I was glad all the Christmas lights were outside. It's really important that when we start giving it, when you do a Daniel fast, the Bible never tells us that we have to do a Daniel fast. Well, what Daniel was doing, Daniel was setting some stuff aside so he could spend time with God. So someone says, "You know, what do you have to, you know, if you look at Daniel gave up all the meats and everything that tasted good. So I'm not eating no meats or no chickens, no fishes." But vegetables? Yum, yum. How many of those vegetables could taste so good? Cheryl made a big thing of stew last night. Had all the vegetables in the world in it and cooked it for 25 hours. When you're hungry, when something's on the stove 15 minutes longer, right? It's kind of like, "I want it now." And so when we do that, we're just telling God, "Listen, man, I want to get close with you. I want to hang with you. I want a heart that's after your heart." God's not looking about how incredibly talented you are. God doesn't care about how talented you are. He's looking for your heart. I've worked with a lot of people that were very, very talented. But yeah, the heart was far from God. That never works out. There's nothing worse than having someone on a team that's continually upset, because it makes the whole team upset. Amen? But when everybody, our church is incredible. We got people that actually like each other. We do events and we're smiling and having fun. And we did this event. We worked in there for a month. I think we did about 2,000 hours in about a month. And we worked like crazy people. And I thought when it was all over, I thought, I'm taking a break. Well, the next day, Bruce says, come on, we got a few more things we got to do. Thank you, Bruce. But you know what, though? When you work with someone that you like and we all become nice, polite, and kind, you know what that does? The world is watching us. And they're looking for something that's real. They're not looking at how we dress. They're not looking at how this or that, but you know what they're doing? They're looking at our heart. And you know what gets me amazed? It's easy to everything to go good when everything's going good. But when everything goes bad, that's when people are really watching. Amen? So we just see this. God was after a man after his own heart. So what does a heart for God look like? Willing to be loved, number one. Willing to be loved. There's a lot of people that have got burnt in relationships. Now listen, if you've been burnt in a relationship, you're not the only person. It's happened to everybody. Always has. God's looking for someone that's willing to be loved. If you can't love yourself, you're going to have a hard time loving others. Now there's a difference. I know some people love themselves so much that's a little scary. Let me tell you this story. Years ago, me and Cheryl was just getting ready to start dating. Well, I thought we was getting ready to start dating. And I come up to her. She was down at Darby's house down here in Ford City. And I had a card. I had it slipped down the back of my britches. I had my jacket on. And I was getting ready to tell Cheryl, man, you're all that. And we're down there. And I'm all excited. Cheryl's bubbly. She runs out. She says, I just got engaged. This is what I did. Great. Real good. And I kind of slipped out and left. You know what I mean? But you know what I did? I had people telling me, Joe, you need to date her anyway. And I'm glad I did, because if not, she would not have got the greatest catch in all the world. But see, in life, honestly, in life, things can happen and we don't want to love because of stuff that happens. We gotta put our guard down. We gotta love again, right? Because if we're going to have a heart for God, we got to love people. We got to let God love us. Because as God loves me, as God tells me, because you know, listen, guys, I said that before. You've heard me say this a lot. I've blown it a lot of times. I speeded. Can I tell you a real quick story, a funny story, jet ski story? We were just finishing up rebuilding a jet ski in Arkansas. It was on my last weekends in Mena, Arkansas, and we're going to go to the lake. It's April, and it's like 56 degrees. It's raining cats and dogs. I don't have a wetsuit. We're driving down the road, and I'm so excited to put this jet ski in the water and freeze. There was a lady from our church broke down alongside of the road. You know what I did? I acted like I didn't see her. I went right past her to the lake, and one of the friends with me, he stopped and helped her. And I really feel like a dog. How many's ever done that? Be honest. See someone in the grocery store, and they talk a lot, and what do? Going down this aisle, so that aisle. Fred, you didn't hear that, did you? No, I'm just kidding. But that's what we do at times because we're humans, right? But see, God loves us, and God gives us chance after chance after chance a million times. It's how his love works. It's how his heart works. And so when we start hanging out with God, we get a heart for him. Willing to be loved. Now, God's heart is filled with love. He wants a response from us that's according to his word. So when he begins to love on us, he wants a response from us. He desires a response from the human race. That God, I'm excited about you. And you know how we do our response when it's worship time? We don't care who's looking. We just, God, because you know what we do when we worship? We're telling God we love you. That's all it is. God, I love you. God, sometimes I do. When I'm in the front row right now, because this is not that tall, I usually put my hands out to the side because I don't want to block all of you guys because then you need to see the word. But you know what I do? I just close my eyes and tell him, God, I love you. God, I'm so excited about you. You know what I pray for our church? I pray that our heart gets so soft for the things of God. That, man, just during the services, we just get broken for him. And when you get broken for God, it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. You can just have the worst day of your life. And then when you come in, you get broken for God. It's kind of like, man, I don't care what's happening out there. I am just having a great time here loving on God and him loving on me. Relationships can fail you. Jesus will not fail you. I know sometimes we don't know that. We don't think about that. But I promise you, God will never, he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. Now, let me give you one other thing. See, that's response to leadership. It's really part of our response to God, him loving us and us responding, is also in our ability to follow the leader. Now, I'm married, so I've learned how to follow the leader. And all the women said, yes, amen, whatever. So I've learned to follow the leader. But you know what, though? Even in ministry, I've learned over the years to follow the leader. That's why I don't have a hard time asking anybody else to follow the leader. Years ago, when we first started youth ministry, we're talking a long, long time ago, there was no such thing as Wednesday night youth ministry. There was just, how many remembers those days? You went in the classroom, you had a youth class. That's all you had. And that's what we had when I first got here. That's all we were doing. And I went to the pastor. I said, I went somewhere and I went down to a guy by the name of Blaine Berteau, and I saw some amazing things they were doing down there, and I wanted to come back and do it here. I was a new Christian, didn't know hardly anything, but I knew what God can do to a surrendered heart. And so I come back thinking, God's got some great things for this church. I'm so excited. So I talked to the board and talked to pastor first, and he said it was okay because did it the right way. And then I went and talked to the board, and they said, yeah. So there was a building right across the street to the left, on the left-hand side. How many members of that building over there? Was it a car lot for a while, Roy? What was that? Something. Anyway, so it was a building. So they let's use that building. Was in that building about 6 months, and Brother Billy come up and he says, you know what? We need to stop that. You need to bring everybody back in on Wednesday nights. And I just like, we're just starting to make some breakthroughs. We're really reaching out into the community. Back then, we'd send students out, and they were doing street witnessing up and down Center Street. In fact, one time I was looking for them, and we had this big guy. How many members Dan Paul? We had Dan Paul, and he had a bunch of students with him. And he's got some of these kids surrounded. There's some kids up there that said they were Satanists, and these guys are praying for him. The Satanists are trying to put spells on them. They're going back and forth. They're just yelling at each other. I got really tickled. It was kind of funny, seeing these guys with heart for God, which is a great thing. But I told Paul, I said, Paul, man, I told you guys that we need to be gone about 30. The parents are waiting for these students. So we picked them up and took them back home. But, you know, it happened, though, people had a heart for God. We had a black gentleman here, Harold Brown. We call him Bootsy. A lot of you guys remember Bootsy. Bootsy couldn't sing very well. But I tell you, he would worship. He'd fall down on his face, and he'd be crying. And I look around, and here's 50 other kids laying on their face right next to Bootsy crying. I thought, that's a heart for God. And so when you have a heart for God, nothing can stop what God wants you, because your heart is right. Our Derby Acres team, no one's going to be on that team unless they have a heart for God. We're not going to be sending people out that we don't trust and we don't know what they're going to do. We want people out there with a heart for God. We've already got about 10 people on the team that want to be part of that. So what we're going to do is every week they're going to go out, whatever message I preach, they're going to preach that same message so we can keep some continuity with what's going on. Now listen, I forgot to tell the first service. We had a big crowd on the first service this morning, a bunch of new people. I love that. But here's what we're going to do. Valentine's Day is getting ready to come. How many likes Valentine's Day? Four of you. Five of you. Six of you. Seven. Who's eight? Nine. So we're going to do a Valentine's banquet. And if you're not married, that's cool. Come and go with us. So we're going to do. We're also going to invite them to come and hang out with us. There's only about 9 people out there. And they need someone to love on them. We was out there the other day, and I was blown away by how many people I knew out there. And let me tell you a funny story that I told them. When I was a kid growing up in Derby Acres, back then they didn't have, how many, you go by the oil sumps, do they still even have oil sumps anymore? No oil sumps. Okay, anyway, they had a place out there with oil, and they didn't have nets, just a big open hole. So we would get on this, we made this big wooden thing, we threw it out on top of the oil sump, and we'd push ourselves around with these big sticks, thinking we're Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. We had no idea if we fell in. Goodbye. So sad. Too bad. And I'm telling that, and there's another funny story. My brother doesn't remember this, but I remember it like it was yesterday. My younger brother's out at the Derby Acres Church, right? It's getting close to Christmas song, and the time, and they asked him, he said, can you sing a song? And Dallin says, well, I know Joy to the World. And that little lady put her hands together. She says, oh, that's my favorite song. And Dallin started out, Jeremiah was a bullfrog, was a good friend of mine. And I told that to them too, and they're all dying laughing, because that was probably almost 45, 6, 7 years ago. That was a long time ago. See, in life, stuff's going to happen, but you know what the main thing is that we keep our hearts for God. Worship King and back up here. I just want to give you some real quick traits. I know I'm kind of going long this morning. David's heart, David was humble. David had a humble heart. You know what? Let me tell you this. If you're the king, you say off with their head, and what happens? Their head is off. You're the king. Your word is everything, right? So you take a guy and you make him king, and all of a sudden he's got all this power. You know what happens? Kind of goes to their head. That's why when Jesus talks about in ministry, even he says, you know, let not a novice. We got to be careful who we set up, because if they're novice, their head grows too fast. I've never had that problem. I've had so many mistakes in ministry that it kept me humble my whole life. Still make a lot of mistakes. But David was humble. He was a man after God's own heart. I love that about David. Here's the next thing. David wasn't religious. We can get religious. We can think it's all about the way we look. It's all about a building. You know what, folks, listen, God doesn't dwell in the building. God dwells in our hearts. When we come in, we make the building holy because we're here. But God is not concerned about buildings. He's concerned about you. It doesn't say, for God so loved the building that he sent his son to die for. It says, for God so loved the world, which the cosmos, which is the lost people. God so loves the cosmos that he gave his son to die. Not about the buildings. It's not about religion. It's always been about relationship. David got that. Let me just say this, and we're going to end. David probably was one of the worst sinners of all of them, right? He did a lot of bad things. He slept with Uriah's wife. He had Uriah killed. And then when Nathan the prophet comes to him, you know what I like about David? David was always honest. The prophet says, David, you're that man that did that. David said, I have sinned against God. I sinned against God. You know, all of us at times, we're going to do stupid things. Let's just be honest. God, I've sinned against you. Forgive me. Dust myself back off and start moving for it again. Sing a little bit of that song. You guys just stay in an attitude of praise for a minute. Guys, I'm gonna challenge you this morning. 2020. I know a lot of us are doing the Daniel fast, but I want to challenge you this morning. If you don't mind, just get out of your seats and come forward. We're gonna do a couple things. One, we're gonna pray for Derby Acres. We're gonna pray for Fellows and McKittrick, all that area. If you don't mind, just get out of your seats, and then we're gonna ask God just to help us too. So get out of your seats. Just come on forward. It's all right. It's okay. Just come on all the way to the front and press down, press in.
Never runs out on me. Your love never fails and never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up. Never runs out on me. Your love. Of your great love. My death is paid. There's nothing that can separate my heart from your great love. In death, in life, I'm confident, covered
All right, guys, we're gonna pray. We're gonna pray, and we're gonna pray like this. And you know, Cheryl, bless you. It's so good seeing you. She's had hip surgery and hip replacement. She's here today. Yay! I want us to pray. And I want just this all across the building this morning. God, check my heart. God, in the name of Jesus this morning, God, we just ask you, God, just to look at our heart. God, is our heart pleasing to you? God, we want a heart after you, Lord. So God, begin to flood and move in our lives, Lord. God, we desire you. God, more than we desire life herself, Lord. So God, also, Lord, this morning, we pray for Derby Acres. Just pray with me, folks. God, we pray for this community. Derby Acres, Fellows, McKittrick. God, we just ask of those people out there. We can reach them for the name of Jesus. God, we pray as our teams go out there and just love on people, God, that you bless and you move as only you can. God, we thank you. We praise you. We magnify you, God. Flow and move by your majesty, Lord. We give you thanks, praise, and glory and honor. They're going to sing this song again right now. And just hang out with God and let him speak to your heart for a few minutes. This morning, I just want to pray for all of you here. Maybe there's, ever just bow your heads for a minute. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you need to get some things right. Maybe just telling God, God, I just need a change of heart. So just right now, I just want to say this. Just everybody just pray this prayer with me so no one gets embarrassed. Say, Jesus, thank you so much for giving your son just for me. So God, I pray, help me, Lord, to serve you with all my heart. Forgive me for my sins. Help me to follow you. I pray that in Jesus' name. And if you need a heart transplant this morning, there is nothing too hard for God. Man, he loves you so much. He wraps his arms of love around you and cares for you. And he desires to spend time with you. Amen. Let's just give God a big hand of praise. They're going to sing this song again. Go ahead, guys. And bless you. You guys need to go? Great. If you need to stay, stay.